All right, for the last 5 weeks, Pastor Mark and Pastor Jonathan have talked about the promises of God. Anybody remember any of those?
Yeah,
and been just excellent. And so we can't let that subject go, as I'm going to spend the night talking to you about 7 specific steps to achieving the promises of God and making them come to pass in your life. And I'm going to use instances in my life where I, you know, done these things, seeing God move, and so it's not just we think about the Word and things just happen around us. There are some things that God expects us to do. The Bible talks about faith without works is dead. So there are things that specifically we need to do to get up to a level to where we could even believe God. So we're going to talk about this. So we're going to start tonight in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 7. And this is Jesus, and if your Bible is in red, then Jesus is speaking. And he says, "Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For those who ask, receive. And those who seek, find. And to those who knock, the door is open to them." Then he goes on to say, "That or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Glory to God. Was there any ambiguity in that? Did Jesus stutter and say, if you ask, well, sometimes you might receive and sometimes you might not? If you seek only on Thursdays, that's a good day. No, he was very specific. He was very precise about it. He did not back. In fact, he actually repeated it again. He said, "For those who ask, they what? Those who seek, they what? And those who knock, they what?" Glory to God. They get results. I love doing something and getting results. It frustrates me to do something and nothing happens. You know? And so the Amplified Bible goes on to and gives it some more emphasis. It says, to keep on asking. Those who keep on asking. Those who keep on seeking. Those who keep on knocking. So that there's an element here of action that's ongoing. Meaning that we don't just sit here and pray the utmost perfect prayer and just hope God heard that. No, we take it up and we begin to advance it forward. See, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of action. It's our words and our actions together. And so we need to do things to really back up and support what we're saying. So it is a keep on asking, it's a keep on seeking, it's a keep on finding. Ask means to make a request from a superior for a favor or a right. Boy, I'm so glad. I was just so happy when Pastor Mark used the word entitlement on Sunday. Glory to God. If you weren't here, you need to get that tape and listen to it, because I was just so happy about that. Because it's not that we're just so good that we're entitled to something. It's just God has set all this over for us and has just made it available to us.
Amen.
Wow. He knew you were not an accident. He knew you were going to be in a world all along. He provided for you. He set it aside for you. He put everything there for you to be successful. You know? Well, let's look at what the Word says about it. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which has been given to" who? To us. Who's us? Okay, make sure we got the us's in the room here. exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. I mean, let's just break that one down. That He has given us these tremendous and great promises that we can take hold of them, and that we can actually act like God, that we can expect the same results as Him. We can look at that and imitate Him. And that what the Bible tells us to do is to imitate God. Yes. See, and so when we see the promises of God, they're not out there dangling there just to taunt us. No, He's for you. He's not against you. He wants you to be on top and not on the bottom. So He is totally doing this for us to take on His nature, and He actually wants us to come up where He is, not for Him to come down where we are. He's already done that. He's already come down where we were. He wants us to come up to His level. Amen? So He wants us to move in Him and have such confidence in Him to take these on. So we are to keep on asking. We are to keep on seeking. We are to keep on knocking. We are entitled to what God has promised us. That feels good to say, you know? And like I said, it's not because we're so great. It's because He's so great. Amen? I mean, it's just that He looked at us and He said, I love you, and I want to do this for you, and I want to show all my favor towards you, and I want you to be a winner. Amen? That's a God looking at us and saying that to us all the time. See, He chose to do that. And at the moment we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we came into agreement with Him on that. Glory to God. I mean, He is so good. So step number one is real simple. What is it that you want? I mean, you know, I've had examples of, we pray with people a lot on finances, and that's good. Love it. And people will come up and say, I need a car. You know, and I ask them, well, what kind? Well, whatever the Lord wants to provide me. Okay. And I say, okay, just a smoky, old, dirty, old, nasty car, would that be okay? You know, we're about to pray here, and if that's what you want, that's what's going to show up. Okay? Well, all of a sudden, they change their mind. They go, no, I don't want that. You know, I want this. Well, spit it out. I mean, be specific. Don't be afraid. God's not cheap. He's not, you know, He's not running bake sales and things like that to raise money for heaven. I mean, He's got things. If you need a car and if you want a nice car, then believe God for a nice car. Glory to God. I mean, He's not going to be, I'm using this as an example, but I mean, it's an area where we get at where we just think, if I ask for something, just look, I've had a smoking car. It was no fun. I had to carry a carton of oil with me everywhere I went just to fill it up. And then wherever I went, I had to put a case of oil in it to get where I needed to go. So I've been there, redeemed from that. Okay. But yeah, I mean, use pictures if you have to. I mean, when I'm believing God for a car, I get me a picture of the car I'm wanting and the color I'm wanting, and I put it right around the house right there where, you know, it just reminds me. I look at it like that because He said write the vision down and make it plain. Make it real plain so that those who can look at it, it just reminds you of it and goes, oh, yeah, okay, I'm believing you for that. That's what I want. See, I mean, we do that because we want to move into that. I mean, when we're talking about, you know, cars, houses, careers, businesses, whatever it is, put it out there what you want. Be real specific about it. God does not deal in vagaries. So put it out there. Don't be afraid of it. And write it down. Now, use your imagination. Watch out for just limited thinking. You know, because, I mean, I have a grandson, 4 years old. Man, he's in that age where there is never a dull moment. He's not going to let you rest physically. He's not going to let you rest mentally. He's going to ask you everything and talk to you about everything. And you know how much I talk. It's not much. So anyway, I was gone on a business trip, and I called back home and said, I'm on my way. And so he asked Vicki about, how am I getting home, was one of the questions. And she said, he's flying home. And he looked at her and he said, Grandpa's flying? Wow. am I going to tell him? No. Let him believe that. Amen. But kids don't have any problem believing anything. I mean, it's just amazing. They don't have any inhibition. They have to be taught that. That's why you should never teach your child you don't have enough. That you should never teach your child that we'll just have to wait because we just don't have it. No, you need to teach them how to believe God for it. Show them how to stretch their faith. And what do you think God's going to do when he asks for something? You better get ready for it to show up, because there's absolutely no inhibition there. See, that's that kind of faith that he's talking about. Now, when we look at Mark chapter 10, verse 15, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. Now, he's talking here about the kingdom of God. He's talking about all that God has and is, and he said that you will not enter into it unless you have the faith like a little child. Well, what is the faith of a little child? Well, they can believe his grandfather can fly. Believe that God can just move this. See, little children, they think everything is for their benefit. I mean, they don't care if that's my favorite whatever. They just take it and go with it. It's theirs. And if they could drive, they would drive the car. Amen? They have totally uninhibited about things. Why? Well, they just believe it's all there for their benefit. See, that's a picture of how God wants us to look at being in his kingdom. This is just all here for our benefit. It's just all there for... He likes to just shower his joy upon us, and he likes to demonstrate how good he is. Have God do something and just say, wow, you're just so good. That was just so great. So he wants us to look at him like that and not have any thoughts about, well, he can't do that. I'm too old for that. I can't do that. No, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. So you can do it. Well, glory to God. I love God's Word. Now, the second step is find Scripture to support what you want. You can't do anything without the Word of God. I mean, you just can't. You're just hoping, you're just dreaming at that point. And so we've got to get scriptural support. There's all kinds of books. There's all kinds of tapes. There's all kinds of CDs. There's all kinds of downloads. There's all kinds of things that you can get a hold of. That scriptures galore. You can actually read your Bible. That's a good thing. And go through things and see things that actually jump out at you. I always look for those kinds of things that I can't get away from it. It just draws my attention to it. Everybody know what I'm talking about here? Or Pastor Mark's preaching and he says something and then I don't hear anymore what he says. He just said something that just like stuck in there on me and I'm writing it down thinking, all right, well, how does that fit? I mean, there's all kinds of things, when the Word of God's being preached, I mean, there is great freedom. And so we are to key in on that and look for the things that we really need to do to make this success. And we've got to have scriptural support. in abundance. Two and a half years ago, I died, okay? And I wasn't planning on doing that, all right? It just happened all of a sudden. And, and I woke up a couple of days later. Vicki wouldn't let me go on and be with the Lord, and the Lord wouldn't let me do it either. But, I had some decisions I had to make because, the quality of life that you lead and the drive that you have in life is really in here. It's inside you. Amen?
Amen.
And so you have to make decisions on what is it that I want to do? What is it that I want to accomplish? What is important here? Those kinds of decisions. And you could just kind of decide, well, I'll just do disability and lay around and just whine every once in a while and stuff like that. But it's like, no, But you got to get the Word of God. I mean, we basically started playing iPods all the time with scriptures and preaching and healing things on them and really getting it down in there. And today I'm stronger than ever. Amen. That's glory to God. Okay? But we have to make those decisions. We have to get the Word of God in. See, if you get the Word of God into you in abundance, it will change your mind. It will change your view of life. It will begin to change your perceptions of things. It will begin to change your priorities. And the more that you bombard your mind and heart with the Word of God, it will cause you to believe things that you couldn't believe before. See, that when you see the Scriptures, all of a sudden it just comes so alive to you that you literally believe that you are able to go carry that out right there. Amen? You can meditate on prosperity Scriptures, and I do. And you get to the point where you just absolutely believe you're rich. You got to watch out writing a check because, I could sit down and write a check, and not even blink. But, reality has to set in and go, okay, oh, wait a minute. It's for an appointed time. It's coming. But see, you take on, I'm just honest with you, you take on a view of things that's totally different, that all of a sudden everything seems possible. Amen. All of a sudden, you're just one step away from achieving that you're just one step there. See, that's where God wants us to get. See, that's what we call coming up to His level. Amen. And taking on His nature. That's what that's called. So we have to get the Word inside of us. And like I said, we have an iPod we put on every night. When we go to bed, that's what we sleep to. We sleep to Pastor Mark. We sleep to several people. When I get up in the morning, he's preaching, and we're going, and I'm going, get it, Pastor Mark, go. That's what you do. Because if you're serious about it and you really want to get somewhere, that's what has to happen. You have to get that in abundance, and it has to be in there. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing in Romans 10:17, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith builds as we put the Word inside of us. It just keeps on building and building and building and building. Okay, these Scriptures will become the foundation for believing the promise that you're standing on. Now, number three, you've got to pray the request and confess the Scriptures to the support of that. Meaning we have to open up our mouth and actually say something. I can't think this, and say, maybe God can read my mind. He can. But I've got to literally say what it is that I want, and I've got to believe that what I say is going to come to pass. Now, here is where the confession comes to play. If I'm having unbelief, and it happens, I was raised Catholic and I had a lot of practice at it, okay? But if I've got something that's just bombarding memories, experiences, whatever, then I have to really go after that area in the Word of God and really hit that area hard to break through that. Because until I break through that, I'll never get any further. It'll just be there as a block to me. So we've got to see those kinds of things that come up in our thinking. You know, if we start thinking like, oh, that'll never happen, or no, I've not lived a good enough life for that, or whatever. I was always poor. Whatever you're thinking, deal with that. Just begin to deal with it, because that is standing in your way. And so we have to get to that point to where we can speak forth the promises and the Scriptures believing. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 22, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So there's a warning about that. If we're sitting there in unforgiveness, we're not going to get any further. So we have to deal with that. You know, you just don't go and collect $200 when you pass go, okay? That's not going to happen if you're sitting there in unforgiveness. If something, I don't care what anybody did to you, it doesn't really matter. You know, God is just not going to let you go any further. But notice that he's talking about saying, that he spent four times he said say. If you say this, if you say that. See, we need to speak forth things, speak forth the promise, and speak forth the Word of God in a positive affirmation that we have received that. You know, if you're believing God for health, I'm strong. Amen. I'm strong and full of life, and everything's healed, and I've got new parts, and everything's functioning properly. I've got a brain on me that just won't quit. I mean, it's just sharp, and you know, I mean, you got to start talking to yourself and start talking to your body. And every time your body doesn't want to go, you just say, command you to go in Jesus' name, and you get going. Amen? So that means we don't think that, we say it. So we've got to speak forth the promises, and we've got to keep speaking them forth until we get to the point to where we believe we have received it. See, that's when it becomes so real to us that we're ready to do something. I mean, that we're about ready to pop. Amen? That's a great feeling. Amen? Y'all are just like looking at me like, oh, he's going to pop here any minute now. All right. So, again, we're trying to reach the level of God with such confidence and in His Word that we believe we've received it when we pray. So we're positive. We go over it, over it, over it. That's what the Bible talks about. Meditating, that we're confessing it over and over it. We think about it over and over it. We say it over and over it. I mean, you know, we just keep it going. Why? Because change is occurring. Things are happening. We not be able to see it, but change is happening. Things are changing. Your perceptions are changing. And so God is moving. The fourth thing is that we've got to guard against the devil. Now, he's out there. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus said, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. When does he come? Immediately. Immediately. He's always trying to steal the word. Ever, you know, when somebody said something and it was just so good, and you try to, you know, get to a point to where you could write it down, and then you just like, can't remember. What was the subject? Where am I? You know? I mean, it's just like, what happened? You know, you don't ever say, well, I'm losing my mind. No, you're not. Your mind's sharp. It's crisp. Amen? But he comes to try to take the word. He comes to try to get you off the Word. He comes to try to distract you. He comes to try to get you busy. He comes to try, he sends some faithful person to you to tell you you're crazy. You know, I mean, it's pretty predictable what he does. You know, it's like Act 3, Take 2. Here it comes. You know, somebody's going to tell me I'm nuts. See, the devil comes to try to get us off of this. Why? Because he knows this works. He knows this is going to come to pass. And when it comes to pass, he's in trouble. So he is going to come to try to discredit you. He's going to come to try to throw everything he's got at you to get you off of this. And you got to expect that. If you think you're just going to cruise, no, you're going to get busier than you ever have in your life. Amen. And you got to recognize that as, wait a minute, I am too busy. Anybody here ever been too busy? Boy, I tell you, that is a tiring thing. Too busy. So he comes to get you off of it and just to get you thinking about other stuff. So you got to run him off. When that happens, if you have something that just was there and you're about to write it down and you forget it, well, guess who's there? Run him off. So devil, get out of here in Jesus' name. And just get him out of it. Don't give him any room. He's nasty. Don't give him any space. It's not normal for people to forget things. It's not normal for people to have just really, really hard times and have all these things happen. It's not normal for somebody to come up to you and chew you out. Amen. It's not normal for a relative to call you and tell you you're nuts. Okay? So, recognize those things and go, hey, I'm on the right trail. I'm getting chewed out. I'm getting, you know, people are running me off the road. It's like, yeah, we're on the right path here. Amen. So we are to guard against him. And if you fall, be quick to repent. But run him off. Step number 5, expect to receive. The Bible, it uses the word hope. And the word hope means expectation. So you could just replace that word in there every time you see the word hope. And the word expectation is that we're reaching out in readiness to receive something. It also means that it's a view of good things to come, that there's an eager anticipation. Do you remember, you know, as a little child, your birthday was coming up, and boy, I tell you what, things were just getting exciting as you were coming up to that date. Some of you don't want to remember that. But I mean, there always was an eager anticipation around there, around your birthday, in terms of what you were going to get and all those kinds of things. But, you know, this is that when we are standing on the Word of God, we enter into an eager anticipation of things that are going to come. See, we are looking forward to when those things come to pass. And we're expecting that to happen any time. So now ask yourself, if you're expecting things to happen, what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. You know, one is just make preparations for it to happen. If you really believe you receive when you pray, then you need to be making preparations for this to happen, for this to come to pass. That means you need to do some planning. If you're believing God for $1 million, you need to have a plan on what you're going to do with it. Amen? Okay, so there's a tithe and then government, and then what? Okay? So we have to prepare what we're going to. If you're believing God for a business, you need to prepare for that. You need to line out what is it you're going to do and how you're going to do that and get to know the laws, because they'll get to know you. You know, all these things. There's a lot of knowledge that you need to know and a lot of planning. Why? Because you're planning to launch. Do you believe you receive when you pray, or were you just playing? See, so the expectation is that we start putting things in place to launch whatever it is that we're after. If I'm believing God for a car, I'm certainly going to research that car. Make sure that's the one I really want, that it wasn't just good looking and not get a maintenance headache. Amen? So we need to do some things. We need to prepare some things. We need to research some things. We need to look at some stuff. We need to spend some time looking at things and understanding some things. See, because God is not going to just drop something into our lap if we're not ready for it. Why? What will happen? It'll just be gone. And we'll be looking back going, where'd that go? See, because the devil will come and steal it because we don't have a plan for it. And so he wants us to be ready. So, and part of our expectation is that we begin to expect this to come to pass so much that we lay plans for it. See, we've been believing God for a church building. We have plans. Amen. We have drawings. We have blueprints. Man, we got drawings. And all these, and every room's planned out. And all these things are out there. Why? We're expecting to move in. Glory to God. We're expecting to break ground and move in. So we do the same thing in what we're believing God for. And we just start putting things in place, believing that, hey, this is going to happen any day now. Amen. And I start acting like it's going to happen any day now. See, that's an excitement that starts to happen as you go. So we have to have an expectation for Him. The other, in step 6, is listen for guidance from the Holy Spirit. Boy, this is critical. You know, nothing ever happens the same. When you believe God for something, He will approach it differently each time. It's amazing how creative He is at causing things to come to pass. Amen. And if you think you have Him like figured out, going, okay, I'm going to do this and then here's what's going to happen. No, that's not going to happen at all. It's not even going to be close to that. Amen. He is very unique. And we have to rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There are some things we need to do, but then we need to really lean over on Him and trust Him and listen for His voice telling us things to do. In John 16, verse 13, it says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide us into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell us what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to Me. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you." So the Holy Ghost is on the inside of us to guide us, to steer us, to counsel us, to help us to get to where we're wanting to go. And He will give you instructions on specific instructions. He'll tell you things like, if you're believing Him for money, He'll tell you things like, well, sow what you got right there and believe Me for the increase. What do you mean? I want to get rid of my money first? You know, He'll do things like that. Why? Because He wants your heart. He wants you. See, if you get a check in your heart, something's not right with your believer. You got something in the way that's causing a problem, and He's bringing that to our attention. So He instructs us in things, and He calls us to look at things. Turn to Isaiah 28 and verse 23, and I'm going to read out the NIV on this one. This is God talking. "Listen and hear My voice. Pay attention and hear what I say." Boy, how many times did He tell you to listen? I love it. Love this. You know, if we didn't have all these things in the way, how would you talk to somebody like, "Listen to me. Listen, this is important." You know, with that kind of emphasis on it. And He says this with that. He's saying, "Listen to what I say. hear what I've got to say here. And he says, when a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Have you ever seen a farmer out in the field and you go by one day and he's out there plowing and you come back next week and he's still out there in that same spot plowing away? No, doesn't do that. He doesn't pay for the same ground twice. He just keeps on going. It says that, does he keep on breaking up and harrowing the soil? Since when he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in its field? His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. I had a garden once, and it was the most expensive garden I'd ever had in my life, because this ground here is just really interesting stuff. I'm not sure what it is, but I decided one year I was just going to plant all these peppers in one area, because after all, they're just peppers. So I had jalapenos and I had bell peppers over there, and I just threw them all in one corner of the garden and said, okay, you know, because that was about all that would grow in this patch. Well, you know, they did grow up and they became, and they were the oddest looking shaped pepper I had ever seen. There really was not a bell pepper or a jalapeno branch. They all looked alike, like they looked like mini bell peppers with a jalapeno tip to them. And you know, I looked at them, and at first I thought I'd throw them away, but I thought, well, I'll just take a bite and eat what this is. So I fixed some and see what it was. It was the sweetest tasting pepper with a kick that I'd ever had. You know? It was amazing. I went to the store to see if any, you know, if somebody sold these. I thought, man, this might be a good income deal here on this. And there was no hollabells in the store. But, you know, God has an order and a purpose to things. He will tell you and instruct you to sow here, to give there, to do this. That if you're believing Him for paying off your house, He'll tell you to, will help this person pay off their house. If you know, He will instruct you and He will guide you on specific things for you to do that in the natural makes no sense whatsoever. But the moment we recognize that He is the one guiding and instructing, we latch onto it and go, okay, I've been believing scriptures and been confessing Him, and let's go. Let's do it. This is Him. He's telling us to do this. See, He will personally guide you and instruct you. So always listen for instruction. You know, when you get to the point where you've done a lot of things and there's nothing but the Grand Canyon between you and the other side where you think the promise is, and the next step is not a good step, stop. Listen. Say, Lord, I just need to hear from You. I need to hear what to do next. And I'm holding till I hear what to do next. See, because He will instruct you on that. He will guide you on that. And He'll give you wisdom on that. So, we listen for Him at all times. And the last and the seventh thing that we do is we receive the promise. See, we keep on it. We keep after it. We listen to Him. We keep the Word coming on the inside of us. And we receive the promise so much that even when we're in the expectation stage, we start planning for a party. What are you going to do when that comes in? What are you going to do when that happens? How are you going to handle it? Not only in how you're going to deal with each part of it, but how you're going to celebrate. I mean, you know, that causes for a good celebration. Amen. So be sure to be thankful and celebrate in the Lord. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of the believers. So, at the proper, if we don't give up, at the proper time, we will reap that harvest. We will reap what it is that we're believing Him for. And we've got to keep that at the forefront of our thinking, that even when we feel the tiredest and feel like it's the most furthest away, we just regather ourselves and re-intensify ourselves and just press back into it and know that it is going to come to pass because He has promised that. Amen. And He is not short on His promise. And when you receive it, all that will seem like it was well worth it. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the tremendous... You're such a great God and such a great kingdom. Thank You for Your promises. Thank You so much for the opportunity to excel and exceed in Your kingdom. We praise You, Lord. We thank You, Father, that as this goes forth, that it will strike each and every person, that will get on track and begin to move forward in You. You said in Your word that all things are possible to those who believe. So we just speak that forward, that possibilities, that the things we're dreaming about, that the things that You have placed in our heart, Lord, that they will come to pass, that we will see them happen. And thank You, Lord, that we develop faith like a child. In Jesus' name, amen.